You're listening to Pushing the Envelope, Life at the Cutting Edge of Customs Innovation. I'm Tom Muller with the Cross Border Research Association. On this show, we explore the frontiers of customs creativity in conversations with customs and logistics experts, technology innovators, research scientists, and other leaders in the field. Industry insiders call this show the PennCast because it's part of PennCP, a network for boosting customs innovation funded by the European Union under the Horizon 2020 program. Today, I'm speaking with the CEO of G-Scan, an Estonia-based company that is producing vehicle and cargo scanning technology using recent developments in atmospheric ray tomography, ART. And it's an honor to be speaking with CEO Marek Helm of G-Scan. Nice to have you on the show, Marek.
Thank you for having me today.
Thank you for joining me. And it's first of all, congratulations on winning the PennCP Innovation Prize in May. That's a major achievement.
Thank you so much. Every attention to the new technology helps us to push it forward. Thanks a lot from our side also.
Well, it sounds like these are very interesting times for G-Scan and for you personally. Could you tell a little bit about what your background is and how you came to G-Scan?
So, good question. I have done many things in my career. Actually, I started as a customs officer at the border in 1995, so 20 years in customs, and then climbed up in tenure of the customs and taxation and ended up as a director general of Estonian Tax and Customs. And then I was running the authority till 2016. And then I moved to the private sector. The 5-6 years I spent my time in the Middle East, you know, running the IT company there and then helping the great e-government solutions in tax and customs area. And then recently, 1 year ago, I moved back to Estonia and got the offer from G-Scan. And now I'm a startup. So I'm doing something which is really, really exciting. It doesn't allow me to sleep properly because of this excitement. But yes, we are inventing something which might be in fact or impact to the future.
That's a great combination of skills and background, and obviously now you can bring 360 degrees of experience to the problems of that G-Scan is trying to solve. Why is it a particularly exciting time?
No, because the technology is new and it hasn't been in use in past decades. And at the same time, as you rightly mentioned, that I have bought many scanners for Estonian customs. And then these are based on niche rays or gamma rays. And everyone knows how they are used and how they are working. And now with G-Scan, we try to complement this way of doing the customs operations, using, as you mentioned in the beginning, that using not the artificial radiation, but using something comes from the space, and how to detect these muons, they call these physical particles, the small particles, how to detect these smart guys, and how to create the valuable information over potential clients like customs authorities or security office.
And it sounds like, from what I've read, muons are the ideal sort of test scanning or particle to use for detection, because they're harmless, they penetrate deeply into almost every material, and therefore they can be used with proper computer processing power. They can be used to with immense effectiveness in scanning.
Yeah, that's correct to say. On top of that, if I compare these technologies, I mean the X-ray or muon tomography, then the X-ray or traditional X-rays, they are measuring the density of the materials. Everybody knows that we are crossing the borders or at the airport, we see images of our suitcases and then. But this muon tomography, as you rightly mentioned, with the high penetration capabilities, what we are doing, we are able to measure chemical composition of the materials. And this is a totally different game that you can differ from the container, let's say the container with the bananas. It's a huge headache in our ports in Europe. You can hide cocaine in that container, and it's hardly noticeable. You cannot detect very effectively with X-ray solutions, but you cannot escape from the detection of the chemical composition of the materials. That's a totally different game.
I see. So the density of bananas and cocaine is similar. So X-rays might miss it, but the actual chemical composition of bananas and cocaine are clearly quite different. So
that's also that our technology is automated. It's not like manual. In X-rays, you need operators, and you need the people working in the shifts. And then it might happen that end of the shift. I have been in customs that there is a different skills of among the operators, that some of them are very smart, but some of them need to be trained. And based on this automation, what we have in our technology, artificial intelligence and machine learning, we can train our software and then technology to detect these materials. So it's not about the imaging, it's about the real detection of the chemical composition automatically, saying that yes, no one sitting behind the computer and trying to see with their own eyes, but you'll get the automatic alert that in that luggage or in that container there is more than bananas. It has the something else.
I see. And I know that you're not a physicist, and even if you were, I wouldn't be able to understand what you said. But the core technology, if I'm correct, is using scattering of atmospheric ray flux that includes muons, electrons, positrons, and some neutrons as they pass through objects to detect and identify contents of cargo. Is that right?
Sounds correct, Tom. And how we are doing it, basically we are producing these so-called detector horoscopes. And then the main approach we are using is that we are using the tessellated fiber optic cables. And these cables have special materials. And if the muons come from the space, they give some light effect. And this light effect captured by the certain setup of the electronics and translated to the information. So how muons going through the different materials, it keeps or it stays the space, or it gives the special trajectory. And based on this trajectory, capturing this information, we are able to say this is the water, this is the alcohol, or this is the banana, this is the cocaine.
I see. Fascinating. And I will be posting, with your help, some illustrative slides on a separate blog, so that people who are listening to this podcast will be able also to see some explanatory slides. But this is clearly very cutting edge material. I mean, cutting edge technology. It sounds like you already have available now the muon flux infra. Is that right? The smallest of your units.
Yes, we signed our first commercial contract actually last December. And it's a good story behind that contract deal. But 30 years ago in Estonia, when Russian military left, they used to have the submarine nuclear base training center on the shore. Hmm. And before they left, they put all the nuclear waste into these submarines, locating on the shore. And it's 30 kilometers from Tallinn, and covered with concrete. So that is like two massive objects with a diameter. The diameter of the one submarine is 9 meters. So fully concrete object, they're ferro concrete. And now the government of Estonia, they want to clean the area there. But you cannot go inside randomly because you don't know what is the material and where. So based on with the infra detector horoscopes, which we are already using, that we are putting these horoscopes under these large objects, and then we are creating 3D model of these two submarines to help the government to bury it down properly, and then no one will get hurt during that process. That said, there are more opportunities to use this. In the entire world, most mankind developed or built materials is ferro concrete, houses, buildings, water dams, and these large infra objects getting older and older. Some of them are more than 100 years old. And you don't know what is the shape of these, the bridges. And then people have heard that people, bridges time to time collapsing. And basically this civil engineering world, they don't have solutions how to do the estimations of how many years left. And then another business domain based compared to this security and the customs, we have this so-called non-destructive testing solutions and already doing first projects.
I see. Well, it's what you mentioned about concrete and civil engineering. I don't know if you heard, but 4 years ago, a major bridge collapsed in Genoa near where I live. It was a major tragedy. And since then, the Italian government has been trying to scan or trying to figure out what the state is of their reinforced concrete bridges across the country. A major problem. How would G-scan technology allow you to do that?
So basically, we use these otoscopes putting under these or next to these large objects, let's say bridge, because this radiation, natural radiation, is not like strong. It's like a natural, and then we need time to capture this data. So it might be that if we want to have this like a very sharp resolution, how much metal left in the concrete. So we might measure this 3-4 weeks, keeping this detector layer, capturing the data. But after that, we are able to say that what is the condition, what is the metal, amount of metal still keeping this bridge together, and basically helping the governments to manage the backlog to maintain the bridges. So we have already like a first pilot project almost ongoing with the national highways in UK. In UK, they have 1,200 bridges needs to be evaluated. So and then 300 of them are critical. So and then we are doing now pilot measurement testing with these guys there. And if they like the technology, there is a way forward. Go to US. How many objects they have there? So it's like it's booming. So I'm very excited that the produce and that help these type of thing.
Incredible. I mean, I can see why you're not sleeping. That's just one business line. I'm thinking that the major infrastructure projects in the U.S. We've already talked about Italy. I mean, every Western European country at this point probably needs to reassess things that were built around the end of World War II onwards. And
I was told in Ukraine, sorry to interrupt you, Dom, but in Ukraine, they have 17,000 bridges.
Oh, my word.
And not only connected with the war, but 8,000 of them are not meeting the standard. So you don't have the exact money right away for all of them. So that's why we say, you can take the Turkish earthquake. So you can use this technology to measure the quality control of if they're building the new bridges or the new ferrocrete objects. So endless. You can go with insurance companies that you want to insure something that what is the quality of that. Up to the medical. That's like a lot of R&D still needs to be done, but X-rays are also used in medical. You can measure the bone. Your bone composition, or how much water do you have your lungs in the future? So it's like all back to the customs that how to measure the quantity of the certain goods, the very fast and sharp way, not just like weighting them or I don't know trusting what is on the paper, but you can just measure through the detection they take. These containers includes I don't know 25 tons of banana. That's it. Nothing else.
Right. Incredible. And the fact that it's harmless, all of these things that you're talking about can be done while people are around without interfering with or creating safety hazards.
Yeah. Only how to say the paradigm we need to change, that it's not the photo shooting. It's not the photo shooting because the radiation is not artificial. It might take time. So, but this is the like compared to accuracy, it's a totally different level. So it's like in my previous background working in the customs, I might say that all the X-ray controls are more or less preventive. So, but the capabilities to do the X-rays, it takes time. You need to take the track to lorry to drive to the certain control hall, clean the area. Then you have operators analyzing the picture. So it's valuable time you can use differently if you have these rules entering the customs checkpoints. And because of it's harmless, you can put detector layers up top to the rope or under the rope, and same time you are doing your paperwork or customs remit, you just scanning. Harnessy, just come. This is the future. Don't believe me, this is the future.
This is exciting. You're getting me excited about it now. Is it true that your G-Scan detector panels are scalable, something like Lego blocks, so you can build them out in any configuration?
So basically, this is a modular based solution. If you want to make one room as a detector room to clean the, I don't know, make sure that you are like very VIP sitting somewhere, and then you want to make sure that in this building you don't have any explosives. So basically you put these detector lasers behind the wall and that's it. So you can put it as much as possible. We have the project called Silent Border. So it's like, and we need to be ready with the first large scale scanner by 2025. So everyone can Google Silent Border and then get more information we are working on.
That's a consortium and an EU-funded consortium. Is that correct?
Yes. They're based from the Horizon project, as you mentioned in the beginning. And we have another one also ongoing. We just got awarded a month ago from Cosmoport Horizon project putting such a scanner to the mobile van, because the many customs authorities, they have these parcel centers due to e-commerce increase. And in every parcel center, they don't have the X-ray machine there. How to put it in the mobile way? Or there are special events, or big concerts or whatever. So how to go there? And within the next 2 years, together with the customs authorities in Latvia, Estonia, Finland, Greece, UK, we are developing this mobile scanner product based on the Mion Domover.
Exciting stuff. Could you talk a little bit about your fellow consortium members in Silent Border? Who else are you working with there?
Silent Border, we have just opened the Tartu University from the local one. Then SGS as a technical partner, German Space Agency, University of Sheffield, and etc. Estonian University, Finnish and Turkish Customs Agency.
I see. Wow, that's a good team. I'll look forward to looking up.
It was like a strong face when we got really like attention from the EU level, and then the first huge project. It's, I think, almost 8 million euros project. For the 4 or 5 years, and then, by 2025, within next 2 years, we need to be ready with the first large container scanning gates or solution. Yeah.
And that's your large G-Scan module.
Correct.
2025. Yeah. I see, and that's kind of your end point from the customs world is to develop a container scanner.
Yeah, if we continue with the processes as we currently have, normally every custom station or border point has their own control hall or something. But with our technology, as I mentioned, you can use these detectors everywhere. You have to have this. Basically what we have on the roof there, when border lines going there, you can build this roof also multifunctional. It's not like covering or helping with the rain, stopping the rain, but it can be operating as a scanner as well.
I see. Well, I'm looking through the projects that G-Scan is taking on, and we've already talked about nuclear waste in Soviet submarines. We've already talked about bridges across the UK. I'm reading. Well, obviously the customs applications from parcels and luggage to containers, but I'm also reading applications in the lunar and Martian environments. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's like in the very beginning. We'll try to be also the looking forward company, and then it's a small one, like how Mions can be used and what kind of technology is there. But in the very beginning. But also what you just mentioned on what we also have the cooperation with the prison authorities. So the under this kind of vision that smart prison or smart detection controlling the parcels for the prisoners on the, or the perimeter there. So basically, recently we got just awarded by Estonian government, and we will give it first muon flux small canner for the real testing with the one prisoner in Estonia. So it's like at, trying to how to say, do the first POC and then develop the product for the prison industry. What are the materials they want to check? What is the quantities? How much time you need for the measuring and then etc. So happy to have this collaboration with the different countries and the governments that they are excited to see what can be done beside the X-ray solutions.
It's wonderful to see the range of projects that you're tackling and the range of teammates that you're working with in order to tackle them. It's also very interesting to see your personal background and the range of experiences you brought to this work as a customs official. Is the G-scan technology something sort of like a dream come true? I mean, it sounds like it would be the ideal tool if it's perfected. Obviously, you need a lot more work to get it up and running, but it sounds like an extremely effective tool that customs across the world would benefit from.
I think it's following the global trends or technology trends like AI and machine learning. They're basically nothing against with the X-ray solutions, but they are local one. They are more or less the manual one. They have like huge OPEX costs to keep these machines running. What else? I was in WCO last autumn, and then the many countries were discussing in the big room that how to use artificial intelligence in that technology. So basically, how to detect automatically, I don't know, is the gun, for example. So, and somebody said in that to put it in artificial intelligence from that technology, you need at least 60,000 similar picture of this gun thing, you know, and then you have this GDPR thing, that how to change these pictures, how to capture first the 60,000 people, and how to change these pictures between the countries to teach machine or learn machine that to detect it automatically. So I think that both technology will remain. You need X-ray with a fast shooting that, and then you get these images. But to make very sure that there is no explosive in a certain area, or I was told these cocaine bananas problem in European ports, there is no solution yet, because if even they see something like 105,000 tons of cocaine year before last year, it's peanuts, and it means that there is no solution. There has to be some kind of step forward to the automation or some kind of machine or AI based thing. So, and that's why they think that we are trying to change this paradigm, that it can be solution.
Yeah, that's it. It really does sound like a paradigm shift technology. Am I right in saying that at this time it takes more time to produce not an image, but to scan something with muon scanner than it does with X-ray?
Yeah, depends on the quantity also. That our technology is not very good at to find one tablet, one small track. But this is not the problem for the society. The problem is the tons or kilograms. So yes, if we raise this bar, I don't know, a few kilograms already, it might take few minutes to scan, to gather the data. And few minutes is nothing compared if you want to move this container inside the border point to somewhere the control hall. So it will come, Tom, definitely. It will come if we are able to see that the accuracy is totally different level. So that's why we are doing these POCs with this prison authority and also with the Cosmoport program, to measure that to tell clearly to our potential client that, okay, if I want to seize 1 kilogram of cocaine, that's the measuring time, and that is the accuracy. So it's like, and it might take, I don't know, couple of years to spread this understanding. But that's why I'm saying that people are look at, they do the photo shoot with X-ray, but X-ray you need your own eyes to detect where it is. But in our technology, machine will tell you, is it there or not?
and the technological difference, plus the fact that you're working in machine learning and AI platforms, means that that's going to be a time saver. You're going to cut out the human factor.
The material library. So we are not like detecting everything. We don't care about goods. So we can care these 30, 50 top-notch critical materials in the world, and we teach our machine that okay, to detect these materials 50 in the library, you need that kind of measuring time, you need that kind of quantities, and then and after that it will be clear. We will guarantee that there is no human touch anymore, that the machine will catch the objects.
I see. Do you have regular interactions with customs administrations, universities, and external scientific research centers? It sounds like with your work with these consortia, you have regular interaction with these other areas.
Yeah, we partially grew up from the Tartu University, which is getting now 400 years old, by the way. So it's like I have 35 people in my team. Seven of them are PhDs, doctors, and 25 engineers. So basically what we are now doing, the building this, the business capabilities next to the R&D. We have done 6 years R&D, heavy R&D behind that. So it's like, it doesn't appear like from the scratch. So it's like, this is our advantage that we are doing heavy work with patent or IP protection. So we work together with the Finnish companies, and then we just recently got the first patent from Japanese market. So, I think 5 to 7 still in the pipe. Protect the technology and how we are producing this, also the algorithms, because the half of the solution is the hardware and the half of this is the algorithms and the software and the machine learning. So both needs to be there. So, and that's why also these millions have been there a million years, but because of these capabilities of AI and machine learning, now it's doable. And they're working together with these universities, and also, as I mentioned, with the customs, with the Horizon project, with the prison authority. So engaging the clients already that what they want to see, to help them, because among these my team there is no customs officers, there is no prison authority people. So we need some like deep knowledge expertise that what type of the machines we are developing, what is the product we are developing.
But it sounds like there is a customs officer or 20-year experience in customs, at least.
Come on, Tom. I was like, I had like few months worked at the border, but in Estonian case, we just got independent, and then I have the customs background and also the education. Very fast, I had to manage the people or leading the people, so I'm not very much hands-on with the custom controlling. But yeah, still knowing the people around and very much. If you are once in the customs family, you will stay there. So there is no one other in the country level. I've been in many other jobs also in the government sector, but I would say the customs family is the different, because this is the international family. You cannot compare with the police. You cannot compare with the tax people. Customs is very unique. If you once being there, you know people in the across the world, and we all work together, and they are like brothers.
It sounds like a real, like you said, once you're in the customs family, you never leave. You're creating. Why is that? What is it about the customs environment that produces a sense of family?
It is because it's not the best things. We need to stick together. Customs people stick because the. As per my understanding, the taxation is domestic thing. Police is a domestic thing. Of course, they do the international company cooperation and etc. whatnot. But customs is not a domestic thing. You are just dealing with the goods coming from somewhere, or you're sending goods somewhere, and you need to be very much engaged or talk to the different countries customs officers. And that's why it's international. That's why the WCO is very strong. That's why I know different international groups. And basically, I lived in Oman, And the head of the customs in Oman was my best brother, because we used to do the same work. So we just met once and shake the hands, or any other countries. If I go there, I said, I'm a previous customs head of the customs or customs officer, you are immediately brother.
What's next for G-Scan? What are the new technological challenges you're planning to take on, and what customs tools are you aiming to provide to solve customs problems of the future?
Yeah, even it might sound strong, we are in the beginning of journey. So we got just ready with, as you mentioned, the Mion detector infra solution we are now using already. And then we just month ago, we were ready with a small scanner. And then we start to do the first POCs. But things takes time, especially with deep tech or hardware. Right? It's people I used to ask that, does this machine do this and that? I said, come on, nobody has done it. I offer you to do it first in the world. Please join the journey. And then luckily I found many. They are attracted with this, and I'm very thankful for the competition or innovation award also to just spread the news that we are looking such a, I don't know, innovative minding leaders that who's not able to just ask, does this machine do this and that, but will discover together with us that what are the opportunities. So, and as you mentioned, that there's like a lot of avenues still we haven't opened yet, up to the medical, up to the this and that. So it's like I read the news that they want to use these Mions for the GPS solutions. So people have discovered that there is a radiation, like safe radiation around us. How we can explore this? How we can use this like as a information transformers or whatever. So,
I see. And am I correct in saying that computer processing power has been one of the keys to opening the mysteries of the muon? Because before you couldn't do it in real time, whereas now you can make the calculations.
Just to answer you, that measuring these two submarines in Estonia currently, we have captured many teras of data. Terabytes. It's like huge data you are capturing. And now, like, how to set up all these like software solutions that to analyze this data. And this is like, don't ask more. I'm not an engineer. So, but I'm seeing that I need to pay the bills that if somebody wants to buy another supercomputer to handle this data. So.
You had to pull out the checkbook for the things that the toys that the engineers want. I see. Well, with 7 PhDs and 25 engineers on your team, you probably do have to pull out that checkbook fairly often, don't you?
but still, it also gives the trust that I can sell something based on what these guys are like developing. These PhDs are not salespersons. They are operating based on facts. And then this team, 7 PhDs, 25 engineers, they are giving to me or my business team this kind of like a certainty that it's doable. So like, and we just need to create the conditions that these guys can continue to develop the product and the solutions.
Now, that's exciting. It must be great to work with people who don't overpromise and don't oversell, or just working on facts and on their technologies. And when they say it's ready, right?
Absolutely. And they always asking more time. Let's make do this and that. That's like, and it's a good how to say vibe in the company as well. That you need to have these business guys who like already using the mouth saying something, and I don't know why not to say overselling, because that they need to be positive, but somehow this the R&D and engineers team, they have their own capabilities or deadlines or just physics behind.
Yeah, well, it takes two kinds, right? It takes the imagination. It says, hey, we could use it for this, we could use it for that, we could use it for that. And then it takes the physicist realist who says, well, this is what we can do now. But the two kind of balance each other if you have the right balance in an organization.
One thing I learned, Tom, in the company within past year, 1 year, that there are always problems. And if your engineers coming to the meetings and say, no, Marek, this is something which we don't know. So I need to stay calm, because these brains will figure it out. So just you need to give the time. But if they say no or they don't know yet, So I admire this, the science world, that the human brain is the there's no limits. There is no limits. Just you need some time and they will figure it out how to proceed.
Well, I know you have a lot of fans because I was sitting in the room with some very skeptical, very hard-nosed customs officials in Tirana, in Albania, who took the vote as to who was going to win the innovation prize. And I guarantee you, it was a pretty skeptical audience. And if you convince them, it means that you have a lot going for you.
Thanks. I take it as a compliment. And you know, there has to be people who are looking like... Thinking that there are always a chance or the possibility to do something, and if you take this like this current solutions as it is, that's they will not last too long. So you need to complement, you need to challenge these current technologies, and then I'm very happy that I have on that journey at the moment. And also, as you mentioned, that having this background that I have bought many X-ray scanners. But I would like to offer something which is a totally different story. And this is my everyday life today.
Sounds like a great everyday life. Thank you so much, Marek, for joining me today and for talking about your fascinating and important work at G-Scan and how it relates to the future of customs innovation. You're clearly making steps towards a new paradigm.
Thank you so much, Tom, and appreciate your time, appreciate your effort to introduce us. And as I mentioned, find me via LinkedIn or internet and happy to share more.
Terrific. I will make sure that your contact information is in the blog that goes along with this podcast, and we'll stay in touch. I hope to meet you soon.
Thanks a lot. See you in Estonia, Tom.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. Take care. You've been listening to Pushing the Envelope, Life at the Cutting Edge of Customs Innovation, a podcast that profiles leaders in customs and their views, ideas, and inspirations about the future of customs innovation. Join us soon for our next pencast and another insightful conversation with customs trendsetters and forward thinkers.